Welcome back to Bamboo and Glass, where we discover abundant possibilities of who we can choose to be. I'm Sophia.
And I'm Taen. Every Sunday, we love to share new perspectives around career, relationships, family, well-being, just to name a few.
Today, we are so excited to talk about what holds us back from trying new things and a simple reframing that can help. Things is a huge part of discovering the abundant possibilities of who you can choose to be. And today we are chatting with our friend Erica Berry about the power of side quests and how side quests can lower the guilt and expectations that often get in the way of trying new things. So we've had Erica on our podcast before, but I just want to introduce Erica again and explain why she is the perfect person to tell us about side quests. So Erica's 9-to-5 job is she's a senior manager of client strategy and analytics. But outside of work, she is also Princess Belle in Fantasmic at Disneyland, a contestant on the baking show Baker's Dozen. She's a TED Talk speaker, reporter, yoga instructor, surfer, model, actress, producer, and also the author of Don't Wait, Create, which we talked with her about earlier. So some of these interests converge very neatly and have a very obvious synergy, but other things that she does feel really unrelated. So I hope you are feeling intrigued and ready to learn more. Erica, welcome back to your 5th episode on Bamboo and Glass.
Oh my God, it's been 5? That's crazy. Yes. It's great to be back. I think that is a silver lining of having so many side quests is I can get on more of these Bamboo and Glass episodes because I do so much random stuff. So yeah, happy to be back and talking about something that I love today.
Just as a fun question to start, I wanted to ask everyone, what is something new that you are really happy you tried? And how did you feel when you tried it? I can go first. So I was actually visiting LA and staying with you, Erica, and I tried Reiki for the first time. And it felt like a combination of a massage, a meditation, an ASMR, and like very chill talk therapy. I felt really proud because it was helping me reinforce to myself that I am someone who likes trying new things and someone who's capable of finding a really fun new thing and following through.
What would be a reason why you haven't tried Reiki until now?
I hadn't tried it because, one, I wanted to go to someone that I really trusted. And so Erica really liked working with her Reiki practitioner. So I waited for that. I just didn't want to like not get anything out of it and like maybe even disappoint Erica, because I know, Erica, you really enjoy Reiki. So if I didn't enjoy it, I would feel a little bit ashamed if I didn't like it. But all that is behind me because I tried Reiki and I loved it.
Yeah. So if anyone's in LA and wants to try Reiki, got a person for you.
On the spiritual side of things, I had a similar experience where I was really happy that I went to a Korean American shaman, which I actually got to talk a little bit about in, I believe the episode was called Do You Believe in Miracles and Coincidences? My first call with her was crazy because I learned a lot about a past life that I had. And I was like, I don't know, are all my calls with her going to be like this? But every call I've had with her has been so unique and nuanced depending on what stage of my life I'm at. I definitely had a lot of internalized fear of the unknown, as well as religious fear, as well as having grown up in a Christian household of just, it seemed really taboo to ever even explore other modalities. And I had done Reiki before, I had done breath work, but those, I don't know, those seemed like they were a little bit more reasonable than a shaman who, you know, is someone who claims to channel spirits and be able to talk to your ancestors and stuff. So that was something that I look back and I'm really happy I tried. A more lighthearted one that I've been trying lately is learning Japanese. I just decided to sign up for an online tutor. And I think what held me back was the fear of not being able to become fluent. Like, what if I only take a couple of steps and then I stop and I'm not able to hold myself accountable? But even just getting the opportunity to connect with someone who is, where their job is to be really excited to see someone improve or like make one step forward, has been really encouraging. So I have been a really big fan of doing those. And my boyfriend also does it too. So we like to test each other on hiragana characters and stuff. So it's been fun. But I'm so curious for you, Erica. You've done so many side quests before.
Yeah. Well, first, I want to say I'm jealous of your Japanese learning experience. I took it for a year at Pomona, and excited to speak Japanese with me is not how I would describe any of the professors or teaching assistants that I had there. It was a very like, traumatizing experience. And so anytime like you want to practice, I'm down. But I feel like an excited and positive teacher makes the world of difference. Mm-hmm. I feel like my life is really just a series of side quests. And that's a question that I want to ask you all in a little bit is like, do you feel like you have a main quest or not? Because I definitely don't. And it's something that I feel like I felt self-conscious about for a long time, but I've grown into being like, you know what? It's okay. But I think something new that I tried and am trying is I am going to be a tour guide at Universal Studios. I love movies. I watch probably like 200 movies a year, studied media studies in college. And it was something I always wanted to do, but I'd never been to Universal Studios before. I'd never been on the tour. And then I ended up going literally a month ago. And then after I left, I was like, how do you do that? Like, how do you get that job? And I looked up talking about this, like, miracles and coincidences. I got on my little computer. I was like, how do you do this? The audition was literally the next day. And so I showed up. I'm like, okay, like, this is what we're doing now. And I start March 6th. And so anyone who wants to come take a studio tour with
me. I'm coming. Yes. I'm going to come for Erica's shift. I love the Universal Studios tour.
Yes. Okay. Come. I come to my like first one. I'm going to be so nervous. And so it'll be nice to have someone I know there. I'll hook you up with the Universal tickets. But it's a side quest I'm really excited about because I realized like during like the third round of the audition, like, oh, this actually like brings together a lot of my previous side quests, like my obsession with movies, side quest, acting, side quest, giving tours. Like I was a tour guide in college, as Sophia knows. Mm-hmm. And that was just like a really enjoyable thing for me. I've worked at theme parks before, loved that. This is kind of like, all right, mashing those all together and doing something new. And so I'm really excited to quit my current job and put on the uniform's crazy. You'll see it when you do the tour, but it's like straight. I don't think they've updated it since the 80s. It's like these giant khaki shorts and like a polo shirt and a visor. But
yeah, you look like you're part of the safari or something.
Yes, I'm like straight out of Jurassic Park, but I'm excited to put it on and do that for a while.
I love how you called out the other side quests you've done, like being a campus tour guide, also working at theme parks, because I think to most people when you share something like, I'm quitting my job to become a tour guide at Universal Studios, I think my immediate thought is like, how did you get to the place where you can just go and get the job and go do this as a profession? Mm-hmm. Because I think like Sophia's and my examples are more kind of like we're participants, we're more students, mm-hmm. but you have a lot of confidence in being able to go out and do those things. And it sounds like because of your past side quests that has slowly built up your confidence and you are able to see how these side quests aren't actually too different from each other, mm-hmm. and they don't have to be intimidating. So I'm really excited to hear your wisdom through all of this.
I'm excited to talk about it. So I think that's like a big pro of the side quest is like, you know, sometimes I sit here and I'm like, oh man, like, do I have too much confidence just like jumping into things that I don't know anything about? And I think the other side of it is you gave me like the nicest intro ever to this episode. And, you know, the Universal thing's exciting, but you kind of only see like the highlight reel of side quests that actually lead somewhere. There's so many side quests that I've pursued, more than half, I would say, that just go absolutely nowhere. It's like, you know, I tried to learn gel and acrylic nail art and I was really bad at it. And I like tried to make this like YouTube channel. I was trying to get clients to do nails. Like it was a total flop. That's like one example. There was a period of time where like I really wanted to learn about astronomy and I went to this like astronomy camp and I was just, my brain doesn't do science super well. And I just felt like horrible about it. But I was like, really like, oh, I want to learn about the stars. Now I do astrology, which is a little bit more like suited to my how my brain works. But in all of the like, you know, fun, exciting, eclectic side quests, there's a whole graveyard of the ones that didn't work out. And I think that's something that I want to make sure one to highlight, but also highlight is one of like the beauties of the side quest is you really just go for stuff and try it for the experience of it. Mm-hmm. And for all of those, you know, 10 side quests that didn't work out, for every one that does lead somewhere, it's not like those were a waste of time. The disappointment of one not working out, I feel like my core identity and the confidence as a person isn't tied to, you know, whether I know the Milky Way galaxy or whether I can do like a set of acrylics. It's just like, okay, that was something I was curious about. Now I can talk to someone who does nails pretty well. I'm like, I know your job is freaking hard. I think there's this concept in like Japanese philosophy called the nobility of failure. And I think that that's something that in our very very like success and results oriented American society can get lost. But in the pursuit of side quests, I try to embrace that.
Yeah, thank you for calling out the graveyard of side quests that haven't really quite panned out, because I think that leads to a question I'd love to hear both of your perspectives on, which is, can you tell me about maybe some of the themes or reasons that lead you to ever be hesitant or scared to try new things?
A more mild reason is that I don't have enough excitement or like activation energy to get me through the threshold of trying something new. But some things that do scare me is that if I invest a lot of time into something new, am I wasting time and deviating from my quote unquote main quest? And it's like, I'm just investing time into all these random things. They don't really come together and build on top of each other. Actually, Erica, you mentioned the terms main quest and side quest. What do those mean to you?
Oh, sure. So the terms are kind of plucked out of like video game words. And so if you're playing a video game, there's the main quest of the game, which is like to beat the game or level up. It's like if I'm playing Super Mario, it's like I gotta get to the castle, I gotta defeat Bowser, and then I get to the next land. And that's the main quest. But then the side quests are all of the little games and characters that you can interact with and play that don't get you any closer to defeating Bowser at the end of the level and leveling up, but you just kind of do them and to experience the game. And people who are really into gaming, you know, they'll do the main, some people play video games to be like, I want to like get through this game as quickly as possible. And then some people who really like, you know, the design and the lore and the story of the game will really go through super slowly and do all of the side quests and not really be in a rush to the main quest or not even care about the main quest at all. And there's video games like think like a like an Animal Crossing, like there is no main quest. That's a full, you can't win Animal Crossing. Like you can shake a bunch of trees and get some fruit and get stung by some bees, but like there's no end. Like you can't really win. That's where those terms come from. And I think that you can live a life that is very focused on a main quest. And that's something I admire and respect a lot, because that is not something that I do. I don't think I really have a main quest of any kind, but I like fill my life through this like mosaic of side quests, and that's good.
And sometimes they come together.
Yeah.
Before you adopted this mentality of really valuing side quests, what were some times when you were hesitant to try something new?
For me, I've always been a pretty, in both a good and a bad way, a very uncompetitive and in turn unambitious person. The concept of winning or being the best at something just is something that's like never really resonated or mattered to me. And I've always been a pretty curious person. And so in terms of like trying things that I'm interested in, I think that fear of being the worst at it was never really a barrier, but I get tripped up, and something that you might notice is a common thread through all of my side quests is they're all things that I do pretty much either alone or like in my own lane with other people. But I've never done team sports, and I think that's where a lot of fear comes in, because of that just like uncompetitive, unambitious thread in my soul. I'm like, I don't want to subject other people to this attitude. And so if I was like, oh, I'm going to join like a basketball team, like I would have a lot of fear about doing that, because I'm just like, all right, there's people here who are in it to win it. And like, this is their main quest. Yeah. This is their main quest to like win adult freaking like league basketball. And I don't want to be me pursuing this through my own like curiosity and enjoyment. Like I don't want to ruin that for them. And so I'm just probably not going to choose that as a side quest. Like, not that like I do all of my side quests alone, like working at Disney, you know, you're in a show with a bunch of different people, but I have my very like isolated part that I do in my own way, and I can choose to do it as well or as poorly as I want to.
Yeah. I think that's a really good takeaway, because if you're someone who's scared of trying new things, it might be easier to commit to something where you don't have to impact other people and you can just try it on your own. And if you dislike it, you can stop and no one ever has to know. I think that really takes the pressure off a bit.
Totally.
Yeah. I am totally those basketball teammates that you're talking about, Erica. Like, I am someone who does tend to be competitive. I would consider myself to be someone who does a lot of thing with ambition and hopes to succeed in the end. And I know that you're saying that you would hesitate to participate because you don't want to let those people down or influence them with your mentality. But I honestly think I needed to meet someone like you earlier in my life so that I could learn how burdensome it really is for me to put so much pressure on myself on every single quest that turns into my main quest that I'm going after. And yeah. I think it would have been nice to sort of take off the pressure of pursuing those quests. So I'm curious, since you've been having this life philosophy for a little bit now, where do you think people can glean benefits of going on side quests?
If you've got a main quest, I'm like, don't abandon the main quest. Keep chugging along on that. But having the side quests, I think, can be a really nice counterbalance to it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll just go through some of the benefits that I remember from our conversation at Disneyland. Mm-hmm. But one is, like, I think I enjoy leisure a lot more than others because it doesn't seem like a waste of time. I feel like I've complained about my various jobs that, like, pay my bills on this podcast. And I know Sophia's, like, heard an earful of it before. But, like, I'm a very much, like, I work to live. I don't live to work. I'm like, what job can I put in the absolute bare minimum effort to, like, keep my electricity on? And I just do that and then have time to do my other stuff. Mm. But I think because of that, if I have a Tuesday afternoon off to go see, like, a $5 movie, or if I am like, oh, I want to, like, go get, like, a food truck snack or something, like, those things don't really seem like a waste of time because it's like, what else would I be doing? You know, yeah, I could be doing one of my side quests, but, like, my identity as a person doesn't really ride on that at all. Whereas if I was like, I think about, like, any, like, Damien Chazelle movie where it's like, I will die for my art. And, like, if I'm not drumming, like, I am worthless, you know, like, Whiplash vibes. And with that, it's like, okay, taking 2 hours out of your day to, like, sit on a bench and, like, stare into space and, like, eat, like, a fruit cup from some, like, random stand. I'm like, I do that kind of thing without the guilt that it's, like, detracting from some, like, larger purpose or larger reason that I'm here. Whereas if I was, like, Miles Teller main questing it, I'd be like, I need to be drumming until, like, my hands bleed right now. And why am I wasting time sitting on this bench? I'd probably kind of really dislike that experience.
Yeah, I like how you've even taken this mindset and applied it to really mundane things. Like, for me, if I have to go run an errand, like, I have to go mail a package, I'm just going to be so annoyed about it. But for you, you're like, oh, it's my side quest of the day. It's like part of my adventure for the day to go return the package, and maybe I'll just check out a nice food truck nearby. And I just like calling it a side quest. It's just so, I just love that word because it implies like you can just casually do a random thing and it counts as one of your side quests. And
it makes the day
anything
so fun.
Can count. Yeah,
totally.
Anything can count,
like,
as a side quest.
Today I wasted in the language of a main quest person, like 2.5 hours because I have a guy friend coming over tomorrow. We're watching a movie and I'm like, hey, maybe he'll want something to drink. And I was like, hey, what's a drink that I like that I've like had somewhere in the world? And I remembered when I went to Japan, there's this drink called like whiskey highball that's super popular there that like they don't have here. And so I was like, hey, how do you make one of those? And so I went on YouTube and I was like, how do you make this drink? And it turns out it's super easy. You just get like Japanese whiskey, you mix it with club soda, and you have like fun ice cubes, and you just like put it in a cup. And I was like, I want to do that. And then I was also like, I need to walk my dog. And so I was like, okay, this is my quest of the day. I'm gonna get like an ice cube tray and like a cup and like the ingredients. I don't even know if I will end up ever making this drink, but I have the ingredients to do it now. And it was like a nice little journey to be like, okay, how do I do this? And I'm gonna like practice, and one thing led to another, and now that was like my afternoon. And so it can be something that doesn't really have a point, but it was enjoyable to do. And another pro of it is it makes it easier to connect with or relate to like a diverse set of people, because since I've tried so many things, if I meet someone new, odds are some random thing in the graveyard of side quests that I've done before has some relevance to their life and whatever quests they're on. Like if I met someone who's in bartending school, yeah, I don't make good drinks at all, but I know how to make this one drink now, and I spent all afternoon watching videos about it. So I could be like, oh, have you ever made this? And like, what's your opinion on it? And you just kind of have these like random vault of facts that can lead to some type of connection with other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're mentioning that it can really help with human connection, with relating to people that you maybe wouldn't have met on your main quest, for example. I know we mentioned a couple of different reasons and themes that people could have internally when they're trying to go on a side quest but are a little bit hesitant to. And so especially when you know you have this graveyard of side quests, like what are some other things that help you help remind you that it's worth going on side quests and having side quests in your life?
I mean, I think that that's a deep question. I think that kind of goes into my like core life philosophy, which mm-hmm. is like, I believe the journey matters, then the destination does it. Like, it's my go-to second date question, which is, do you think the means justify the ends or the ends justify the means? And you can kind of spin it and trick people so they're not like, oh, I'm not like a horrible person. And of course, you know, so I'm like, okay, do you think like all's well that ends well, which is a very like compelling argument. Or do you think that, you know, the journey is more important than the destination? I found having like a lot of interpersonal conflict and pain from people who don't share that same philosophy with me. My take on it is life is like 99% the means, and then you get like the little ends at the end. And the ends, like, I feel like the times that I've like won stuff or gotten stuff, it's just like never really felt as good as it's depicted to feel. I think that like takes off the edge of all of the failed side quests. I'm like, well, if I enjoyed doing it, that is fun. Like the acrylic nail side quest was just such a fail. I keep revisiting that, but like I always have to have short nails. Long nails drive me crazy. I don't know why I went down that road, but I really enjoyed it. I watched probably like 100 hours of nail videos. I spent too much money on the supplies and I learned all about it. And I ended up like literally like ripping these fake nails off of my fingers until like they bled. And then I'd do it again for like some unknown reason. But I think back on it, I'm like, okay, yeah, in retrospect, that was kind of stupid. But I think back to that time and like was I having fun doing that? Like, was I in kind of a flow state doing this stuff? And I'm like, yeah, I was. And that is not a waste of time in the way that I like decide to think about like how I use my time. But
absolutely.
I think it would drive some people crazy.
Yeah, I think that's a really great contrast in perspective from what Sophia was saying earlier, where that one reason why you might not go on a side quest is you wonder if you've wasted your time or that it is really going to be worth it. I'm kind of taking away from myself that whenever I do have the thought like, is this going to be worth my time and energy? Even thinking about like, am I going to let myself enjoy even like 5 minutes of like doing the research or 5 minutes of taking a detour or something? That can be a really accessible way to realize that, again, like the journey can be just as meaningful as a destination, whatever your life philosophy is. Like, I don't think that because you value one over the other means that you can't have fun in both ways too. No.
Oh, totally. With side quest or main quest or any quest, it's really easy to get like stuck in like sunk cost fallacy mindset. Like, I spent all this money or I spent all this time doing this. Like, I have to be good at it or else it's a waste. It's like, you don't have to. Or I think a lot of people who are going through like an existential crisis, like common theme that I see is like, I've spent so much time thinking that this one thing is my main quest and now I'm doubting whether it is, but like I've already spent so much time on it, like I gotta just keep going. Yeah. It's like, dude, you're 28, you don't need to. It's okay, you can start something else. If it's not working, that's okay.
I'm kind of also reflecting on how even me telling some friends that I am starting to learn Japanese, like oftentimes the question I get asked is why? What is it for? Like, why are you doing it? And that ends up putting a lot of pressure on me to, again, justify that learning Japanese is going to be worth it. I saw this quote from James Clear in his newsletter that came out today, actually, and it's from a mountaineer named Alex Lowe. And he says that the best climber in the world is the one who's having the most fun. And so from here, I feel like he's implying that when the focus is on fun, a byproduct could totally be like improvement and accomplishment, which is that destination that we were talking about.
Oh, I 1000% agree with that. And I think it's two things. It's like, I think fun could be the destination, even if you're just like, you know, a foot off the ground. Like they say that for surfing too. They probably stole the quote. It's like, but like the surfer who's the best is the one having the most fun. And you can just be like, literally like not catching anything and like falling all over the place, but like that can be a metric of success in and of itself. But on the flip side, for you ends justify the means listeners out there, I actually do think detachment from the results and side quest mentality net in certain disciplines does produce better results. One, it helps a lot with confidence, and two, I think it helps get the nerves down when you know like my identity doesn't like like doesn't ride on the outcome of this arbitrary thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm really going to force myself to like enjoy this process or else there is no point to doing it. And I think that at least in like show business, like people like watching people who are having fun with like auditioning for stuff or like interviewing for stuff. It actually helps, even though like if you are an ends justify the means person and you're like freaking out about it, that could actually in some cases sabotage the result that you want so badly.
I really appreciate that framing because when I think back on a lot of side quests that I have gone on, a lot of the motivation is actually fear. A lot of it is fear around, am I going to regret never doing this in my life? And so I feel like your reframing is really focusing on the fun aspect of it, which then also accomplishes like resolving and absolving myself of this fear of what if I live my life and like I'm never an interesting person or I never get to do the things that I have always wanted to do just because. I wanted to end by asking you if you could give us 3 example side quests that we could add to our bucket list.
Ooh, okay. First side quest, this is a really easy, low commitment one. Watch a movie and immerse yourself into that the world of that movie. I think movies and books are a really good way to, it's like the cheat code to a side quest. It's you get to like live through another person's experience and be part of another world. And then you kind of like, boom, it's over, you're out of it. But like try to like linger there a little bit longer. And so this is something I just do, but like I'll go watch a movie and then I like spend the next like 2 days trying to like live and think like the characters and be like, oh, like what would they eat? And what would they say? And what would they wear? And so just like pick a book, pick a movie, watch it, and then try to like live that life a little bit. Like hopefully you pick a movie that's like not like a slasher. Like don't go out and like live Texas Chainsaw Massacre for a week, but like pick something and try to like keep it going, live it for a little bit just because it's a fun one. 2 is creative pursuits can be really difficult side quests because there's a lot of judgment that comes with creative work. Like, is it good? Is it bad? Is it whatever? I'm a big Artist's Way fan. So it's like, just make bad art over and over again and enjoy the process of it. So even if you don't think you're an artist, like paint something, draw something, do pottery. I feel like that's really trendy now. So that's a side quest. Make something and don't really care about the outcome, but then force yourself to display it in your home for like a month and just like look at it and be like, hey, the ceiling didn't fall down. I made this really ugly pot and it's okay. Last one, just in the spirit of giving back to the community, like a side quest that helps or benefits another person in some way. This was a small one, but I joined this group and helped organize this clothing swap, which actually, Sophia, next time you're in LA, we should all go to it because you're like thrifting queen. But it was so cool because everyone brought like really good clothes. And we like hung in on these things and you could swap with other people. And I got like nice designer jeans. Like I got this dress and stuff. It's like, all free. You're just swapping with people, but it's clothes that people aren't wearing. Good for the planet. And so some side quest that like makes someone's day better in any like small way, shape or form like that. Even if you do it poorly, the world will be a slightly better place than it was before.
There's no feeling of loss because it's like, even if I didn't do a quote unquote great job at donating my clothes, which is not even possible, someone else benefited from it. So
yeah, like you donate bad clothes. It's like someone's got a shirt on their back now, or it's like, it's impossible to be like, oh yeah, I organized like the worst can drive in the world. It's like, no, you tried. Like that's good.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you, Erica, for sharing with us this really powerful mindset about trying side quests. Side quests reduce the barrier to trying something new. It makes it easier for you to enjoy something, even if it's inconvenient, and also helps you experience more diverse sources of happiness by doing small things and just having fun doing those small things. So thank you for sharing that perspective with us. And to our listener, if you felt inspired by any part of this episode, or if you want to send this to a friend and inspire them to do a side quest together with you, please think of a friend who might enjoy this episode and share it with them and let them know that we are on every podcast platform. And I know if you've gotten to the end of this episode, you just love listening to Erica and her life and the interesting things she's done. And so we have a ton more episodes with her that we will link in the show notes below. And we actually have 2 episodes about her book. One when you were just starting your book and then one when you finished your book. So it was really fun to get to capture that journey of yours. With that, thank you so much for tuning in. We will chat with you next Sunday. Bye.
Bye.